access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And tonight we're going to begin the last part, really, of the book of Acts as the gospel message is going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's just as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And the focus is going to change a little bit now. Paul is going to be the focus instead of Peter, and the gospel message is going to primarily go to Gentiles. Of course, we'll see Paul going to synagogues first, sharing, but for the most part, he gets kicked out of the synagogues fairly quickly and has to move on, and he brings the gospel to the Gentiles. And yes, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles, but God was raising up Paul. And once he was ready to be sent out, Peter kind of focused with the Jews. And I realized that, you know, within the Roman Catholic Church, their focus is Peter ministering to the Gentiles, but that's not what the scriptures really tell us. And here's the thing we got to remember, because we look at, you know, these guys, you know, Peter, Paul, even Mary. I was just seeing if you guys are, just seeing if you're awake. That was very good. But isn't the picture about Jesus, right? It's not about these guys. It's about what Jesus is doing in and through them. And the same is true in our lives. You know, that's the exciting thing. God uses a variety of people in a variety of different ways to get his message out. And for Paul, you know, he went on three missionary journeys. His first was to Asia Minor in Galatia. His second missionary journey was primarily to Greece. And his third missionary journey, he went to some of the same areas he covered on his first two missionary journeys, Asia Minor and Greece. And his name really is going to change from Saul to Paul. And you think, well, why? Well, you know, they had two names, one Hebrew, which was Saul, and being a Roman citizen, his Roman name was Paul. You think, well, why would he use his Roman name instead of his Hebrew name? Well, maybe because his missionary work was to the Gentiles. You know, he said it in Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles." The other thing, and I think both these things really apply, the name Saul means requested one. And he was a Pharisee, and he was sought after. He was important. But now he's come to Christ, and he's seen things a little bit differently. And now his name is Paul, which means little one. You see, after seeing himself in the light of Christ, it was no longer about him. It was about the Lord. And again, I think both these apply. Now, as Paul goes forward, he's going to have to take some steps of faith. He didn't know everything he would encounter, but he trusted the Lord and he went forward, and so do we. You know, when the Lord called me up here from Chicago, he didn't tell me everything I would encounter. Oh my gosh, if he did, I'd still be in Chicago. You know, think about it. But he tells us, take those steps, one step at a time, and he keeps showing us things, and we encounter various things, but he always gives us the strength to see us through the variety of things we go through. Now, let me share this with you because I think it'll show you what we are to be doing. We're to be walking. This article said, "As soon as the soles of the feet of the priest shall rest in the waters shall be cut off." And that's from Joshua 3:13. You see, the people were not to wait in their camps until the way was open. They were to walk by faith. They were to break camp, pack up their goods, form in a line to march, and move down to the very banks before the river would be open. If they had come to the edge of the river and then had stopped for the stream to divide before they stepped into it, they would have waited in vain. They had to take one step into the water before the waters were cut off. You know, we have to learn to take God at his word and go straight on in the duty he's called us to do. In fact, sometimes it looks like, well, what am I going to do? It doesn't look good. We have to go forward. You know, if we would move straight on in faith, the path would, I think, open up for us. But when we stand still, when we wait for the obstacle to be removed, when we should be going forward, well, the obstacles are still there then. Faith that goes forward triumphs. And isn't it amazing what God can do? I'm sure you could all tell stories of how, you know, God said, take that step of faith. And you were like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. And you did. And all of a sudden, wow, look at what God has done. Amazing. And we'll see that in the life of Paul. Now, his first missionary journey is going to cover Acts chapters 13 and 14. And we'll cover chapter 14 next week. But man, what an adventure. It had its share of difficulties. But isn't that life? I mean, how many of you, your life is perfect, you never have any difficulties? Oh my gosh. You? Really? We'll talk later, young man. I don't believe that for a second. But it is life. That's what we go through. And the Lord is going to see Paul through these times just as he sees us through them. And he's teaching us lessons of faith, how we grow. Now, as we finished up last time in Acts chapter 12, we closed with these words in verse 25. It says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Barnabas, Saul, John, Mark were all at the church in Antioch now, having returned from delivering a gift of support to the church in Jerusalem. And that's our background. We're going to pick up Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. We're told, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Manine, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, Antioch was located in Syria, which is in the news a lot today. And besides Jews living over there, there were also many Arab people as well as many Greeks. And at this time in their history, they were one of the third most important cities in the Roman Empire behind Rome and then Alexandria and Egypt. And it was important because it had a tremendous amount of wealth that flowed through there. And obviously it flowed through Syria and it was on its way to Rome, the headquarters. But it was a business city, very popular. And yes, it was a pagan society. Immorality ran wild in Antioch. But here's the amazing thing. The church was growing and making an impact not only on the people but on society as well. And it should happen. Wherever the Lord is working, the society that we are living in should be changed for the better. I'm talking about our families, our communities, where we're at work. You know, I shared with you before when I was working at the hospital and working at the doctor's office several years ago, they knew what my background was. They knew that I was a Christian. They knew I was a pastor. And it was interesting because once in a while, they would tell jokes. And if I happened to be walking by, they would go, oh, Joe, this one's not for you. And I would say, well, thank you very much. And sometimes they wouldn't even tell the joke because they were too embarrassed knowing that I was there. That's a good thing. We should influence a society for the better. And I love the diversity of people that are working together in the church in Antioch. You know, Barnabas was a Jew from Cyprus. Simeon, also called Niger, which means black. He's probably a black African. He's possibly the man who helped Jesus carry his cross to Calvary. There was Lucas of Cyrene from North Africa. Manine grew up with Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. Isn't it interesting? One got saved, the other rejected Jesus. Choices people make. And Saul was a Pharisee. What a variety of different people. I love that. There's a variety of different people in this room. You think, well, how in the world could they all work together? It's because of Jesus. He tore down those walls of division, of separation for a greater cause. You know, it's sad today in many churches, they build up walls because of the way, you know, a person looks or dresses, the music they like, even, you know, what version of the Bible they read, and so on. And it shouldn't be. And I think that's a great lesson for us to see here and to apply to our own lives. You know, the cause of Christ and not our own personal feelings. It's really about him. Now, do you ever think there's a world out there dying in their sins that need Jesus? It's not about me. And I guarantee you, some of the, and I'm not talking about false doctrine or, you know, things like that, But some of these minor issues that aren't really important, I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to go up to Jesus and go, "Was I right? Huh? Was I right?" It's not going to happen. And yet we will fight tooth and nail down here for that. We got to be careful. The unity that God has brought, you know, into our lives. And people see that. You know, I look at this, not only nation, but this world today. And man, aren't there a lot of hurting people out there? They're looking for hope. They're looking for love. You know, and it's really hard to find love because, you know, that's it. It's just the phone and text messaging. And we've lost the art of communication, of talking to people, which is sad. And so people are looking for that, someone to care. When you see someone in the store and maybe they have just this very sad look on their face, you go, "Oh, hey, can I pray for you?" 99% of the time, they're not going to get mad at you. And many times they'll just open up and say, "You know what, I just had a really bad day." And you say, "Well, I'll pray for you." Be open. Look at verse 2. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." I think they kind of felt this urgency upon their hearts, and it caused them to fast and pray, seek direction from the Lord. And I think they're praying for the lost. And they wanted the gospel message to go forward, and God answered their prayer and is sending them out with the gospel to a lost world. And they ministered to the Lord. It's interesting, you know, and I'm not nitpicking here. It's to the Lord, not for the Lord. And our primary purpose, according to Revelation 4:11, is, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, please don't get me wrong. It's not that we don't work for the Lord. We do serve Him. We were created for good works, but it all begins with worship, and that leads us to good works. It's setting priorities in our life, spending time with the Lord, being directed by Him. That's exactly what they're doing. They're fasting, they're praying, and God, by His Spirit, either spoke through the prophets or one of the other members, and the call came out for Saul and Barnabas to go out. Not in a few months, but now. And first time that a church is sending out people to evangelize. They were, I guess, sponsored, you might say, by the church in Antioch for this work. And what's interesting to me is there were no board meetings, there were no demographics, no marketing surveys, no worldly ways at all. The Holy Spirit called them, the church sent them, and they went out. And isn't that the way to do it? I'm not really big on, you know, board meetings and all that stuff. Do we have board meetings? Yeah, we do have board meetings here with Steve, one of the elders. But if God's put something upon your heart and you come up and say, "Joe, the Lord's really laid this up in my heart. Can I do it?" I'm like, "Sure. Can I help you in any way? If you need any help, let me know." Go for it. As long as it's not something, you know, if you're going to do Christian tarot cards, yeah, I'm not going to let you do it, okay? But as long as it's okay, if God's put it upon your heart, man, if I could help you anyway, let me help you. But otherwise, just go forward and do it. See what God does. I don't need to have a board meeting to try and decide, do we need to do this? If God put it upon your heart, why am I going to stop you? And that's the way I look at it. And we also have to note that God has prepared work for them to do. He prepared them. He's also prepared the work. And that's what Ephesians 2:10 says. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So I love that. God prepares us for the work, but He not only prepares us, He prepares the work for us. What do we need to do? Walk. We need to walk. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. You know, we need to be open to His direction for our lives. "Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to minister to people?" Very important. Verse 4 says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant." So Here's the thing. Unless the Holy Spirit is guiding, the work is just not going to be fruitful. That's what we see here. The Holy Spirit's guiding these men, and wow, things are happening. You know, they travel some 16 miles from Antioch to the seaport city of Seleucia. And from there, they took a boat to the island of Cyprus. It's one of the third largest islands in the Mediterranean Sea after Sicily and Sardinia. It was only 100 miles long, 60 miles wide. And Salamis was the chief port and commercial center on the east side of the island. And so they get there, they go immediately into the synagogues, and what did they do? Put on a skit. Brought in a book. No, they taught them the Word of God. They were pointing them to Jesus. They didn't waste any time. They didn't say, well, you know, I got to get to know you guys a little bit before I share Jesus with you. Are you kidding me? They're there. They're in the synagogue. They're going to share Jesus with these people, and they shared the Word of God. Got right down to business, and I think, what a great example for us. Now, John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, was also with them. And you may remember John Mark from his gospel. In Mark 15, he kind of gives us some insight, I think, what happened to him. It's kind of a personal note. Maybe when he was only 12 years old or so, he was a young man. It says in verses 51 and 52 of Mark 15, "Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." That was John Mark, I believe. Gave us a little insight into what happened when Jesus was arrested. We also know that his mother's house was where the early church gathered. So John Mark grew up with Jesus and around those people who loved the Lord. And he's going forth now to assist in the work with Saul and Barnabas to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, "Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith." Now, isn't that interesting? They're traveling through the island of Cyprus, starting out in Salamis. Then they travel about 100 miles to Paphos on the other side of the island. This was kind of the seat of the Roman government on this island. This is where the governor lived. Now, it was also, of course, a wicked city that was in spiritual darkness. And here comes the light of Jesus Christ shining down upon them. In fact, Barclay says, "Paphos was infamous for its worship of Venus, the goddess of sexual love." So Sergius Paulus, the governor, wants Saul and Barnabas to share the word of God with them, an open door for ministry. He was searching for the truth, and God will always send people to speak the truth to those who are searching. And it's interesting, you know, imagine the governor of the state or the president of the United States, and he wants to know about Jesus. Pretty awesome. And just to give you some insight, don't want to get too far ahead of the story, but he gets saved. And Sir William Ramsay reports that inscriptions bearing Sergius Paulus' name have been found on Cyprus, confirming that he was a Christian and that his entire family became Christians. But before that happens, there's a man named Bar-Jesus, or son of Jesus, also called Elymas, which means skillful one. And he tries to stop Sergius Paulus from hearing the truth. Isn't that interesting? He wants him to remain in darkness. Interesting. Bar-Jesus means son of salvation. Think about the numbers of false prophets out there today, running around claiming to be from God, sent by him, to tell them the way of salvation. And it's contrary to the scriptures. If anyone says that salvation comes by any other name than Jesus, they're a false prophet. Now, here's the thing we got to remember. When we're going out to share our faith, do you think the enemy is just going to let you do that? No. You know, doors open up for us. We take that step of faith, and Satan comes in. He tries to stop us from sharing our faith. He wants people to remain in spiritual darkness. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, wherever there is likely to be great success, the open door and the opposing adversaries will both be found. If there are no adversaries, you may fear that there will be no success. A boy cannot get his kite up without wind, nor without a wind which drives against his kite. Well, what's Saul going to do here, or Paul? Look at verse 9. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And he said, O full of all deceit and of all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Paul did not read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, did he? You know, today, what would people say? Oh, you're so unloving. Absolutely not. This guy was bringing deceit, lies. He was keeping people from Jesus. And it was a big deal here because whoever controls the governor controls Cyprus. And so Satan steps in and tries to keep the governor from the faith by using this man Bar-Jesus. And Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, rebukes this man. And he's going to teach Sergius Paulus in the proconsul the things of God. He wasn't going to let the enemy of God stop him. Never give up, guys. You know, that's something that I have learned over the years. And it began with my running. They don't care where you're at in the race, you keep going until you cross the finish line. And then in the Christian life, where Paul said that we run to win. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we don't stop. I don't care, you know, if people are throwing things at you when you're running. You run past it, you continue on, and you finish the course that God has set for you. Nothing was going to stop Paul. And I like that. You know, that's an encouragement to me. I mean, I can honestly say there, I don't even come close to the opposition that Paul faced. Not even close. I mean, I just scratched the surface of what Paul went through. And yet there are times, you know, that I moan and groan and complain, oh, this, why is this happening to me? I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been beaten. I mean, it's so many things. I lost my perspective. I need to look back to the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're allowing these things to happen. What are you teaching me and what do you want me to do? Just continue on. Look at verse 11. Paul said, and now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So because of the wickedness of Elymas, Bar-Jesus, and what he tried to do, the Lord allowed him to be temporarily blind. Yeah, it was a physical blindness, but he was already in spiritual darkness, and he didn't want to come out of it. And he wanted to lead others down that path. And, you know, if you allow false teaching, false doctrine, false teachers to go on because you don't want to offend them, then you're going to be hurting someone else because you're letting that stuff continue on. In fact, your love for the false teacher is greater than your love for the Lord. And you know me well enough that I will not stand for false teaching, false doctrine to come in this church. Why? Two reasons. I fear the Lord and I love you guys too much. It's as simple as that. It's not real complicated. And I realize, yeah, people can be mad at me, they can yell and scream at me, but hopefully in the end they realize that I love them too much to let the false teaching to go on. That was the heart of Paul. He loved Sergius Paulus too much to let him fall prey to the false teacher. I mean, he could have just said, hey, you know what? Tough. This guy's in the way. We're just going to move on to someone else. But he cared too much for him. And he didn't let Bar-Jesus or Elymas get in the way. In verse 12 here of Acts chapter 13, we're told, then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Here's the question. Did the miracle or judgment that came upon this man cause them to believe? I don't think so. And the reason I feel that way is that they were astonished at the teaching of the Lord. In other words, yeah, he became blind, but Paul was teaching them the Word of God. That was just an open door. That was the blindness just pointed them to the living God. But Paul shared the truths of God's word with them. And I think that's so important for us today. The word of God being spoken. Because of the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Paul in Romans 10:17 said, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Don't lose sight of that fact, because it's easy to get, you know, off on rabbit trails. Keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. Always bring them back to Jesus.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.